The title tonight is "These Shoes Are Too Big." And like I said, we're going to use Psalm 37, Romans 8, Ephesians 3, Philippians 2. At age 31, DeShauna Barber is a very accomplished woman. In 2016, she won the Miss USA pageant. She went on to finish in the top 10 in the Miss Universe pageant. She currently serves as a captain in the United States Army Reserves. And she is a traveling motivational speaker who's sought all over this country. So very successful at this point in her life. As she makes her appearances, one of the stories she tells is about making the middle school track team. Knowing that she needed new track shoes to start the season, her mother went out and bought her a pair and brought them home to her. When she saw them, DeShauna noticed that the box said size 9. Now then, even though she was already in the 6th grade, DeShauna still wore a size 5. She remembers telling her mother, "Mama, these shoes are too big." In response, her mother said, "I know. I did it on purpose. Why would you purposefully buy me shoes that are too big?" "Because I know you're going to grow into them." Next day, DeShauna wore her new shoes to track. She literally hit the track that first day. Shooting out of the starting blocks for the first time, she fell face first, because her shoes were too big. She was frustrated. She was not able to move with the quickness that she wanted to. She was not able to move with the level of grace and finesse that she wanted. She had to learn to adjust. She had to learn to slow down and stick it out until she grew into her shoes. So let's transition. We're going to transition by referencing those three keys, those verses that I've already mentioned. Romans 8, verse 28, you probably have already quoted it in your head. "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Flip over to Philippians chapter 2. Just going to read for a second, then we'll go back. Make some comments. "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." And then turning back a few pages, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "To Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." So some comments. Comment on Romans 8 and verse 28. God promises through the pen of Paul that it's all going to add up. At some point, it's going to make sense. At some point, it's going to turn out for good. The individual pieces may not be. The individual struggles may indeed be a struggle. But in the end, God said, "I'll put it all back together. And it's going to be to the good for those who agree to follow the plan. Those who love me. Those who are called according to my purpose." And so there we are as Christians. We're reading that and we start chomping at the bit because we want it all to make sense. When? Today. Right here, right now. "God, I need you to take it all and put it together and give me the puzzle so that I can see it at this instant." Philippians 2, 12 and 13 that we read. Paul said, "God, I've worked out my salvation. I'm on board with your plan, Verse 13, you're promising me that you're working in me. God, let's do this. Let me see some results. Let me accomplish something big for you. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. God, I know the promise. I know the promise that you can do exceeding abundantly beyond all that I can ask or imagine. So I'm excited to see what you can do through me. So let's do it. God, I want to see some results. We are people who want it now. We want the answers. We want the understanding. We want the results. And yet so often what happens? We frequently feel like God is moving at a snail's pace in our lives. The answers are not coming fast enough. The growth in my personal life is not coming fast enough. The growth in the church is not coming fast enough. We get frustrated. We're not getting the answers that I want today. God, I'm not interested in what answers are going to come tomorrow or next week or in eternity. I'm only interested in the answers you're going to give me now. I'm interested in seeing the work that I thought you were going to do through me by this point in my life. We get frustrated because we're not seeing those unbelievable results beyond all that we can imagine. God, you made me the promise. I expected to see it. So we get frustrated. And maybe we ask, God, why have you not given me... I'm going to let you fill in the blank. What is it you've been praying for? That God has said no, or God has said wait. We say, Lord, I want this pain to go away. I want to be healed today. I want blank in my life to be well. I want so-and-so to get the answers that he needs. Or for her to get the healing that she needs. And so, God, I'm frustrated. Things are not happening fast enough for me. God, I prayed in faith. Why am I not seeing the results? Or as a congregation, God, we want to grow at Mount Carmel or wherever you're at. Why are you not sending people our way? I want you to listen to me very carefully. Because it's certainly not always the case. Because there are a lot of things that can interfere with God making all things work together for good in the time that we think they're supposed to happen. There are a lot of things that can interrupt my spiritual growth or my spiritual accomplishments. There are a lot of things that can interrupt a congregation's progress. So listen carefully, but I want you to see this. I believe in Scripture it is revealed that there are times that God slows our progress. That God tells us to wait, etc. Because we need to grow into the request that we're making. And He knows it. You see, we can't see tomorrow. We cannot see next week. We are not infinite in our knowledge. We're not omniscient. And so sometimes we don't know the exact moment that we're supposed to ask for something. We think we're ready. God knows we're not. And so we ask and God has to say, you know, let's pull back on the reins just a little bit. You know, maybe it's that my faith needs to grow. Maybe He tells me, hold on, because I'm asking, but I'm not asking with the right faith. Maybe my resources need to grow. Maybe I'm asking for a gift that God has planned for me, but right now is just not the right time. Maybe our maturity needs to grow. Maybe we just can't handle it just yet. Maybe our resilience or whatever. But I believe that God, in His infinite knowledge, that He knows that there are times that we are not ready for everything that we pray for. And so he being the perfect father, like all good parents, knows that giving us everything we want, even everything we need all at one time without preparing us, can be disastrous. We want to move mountains. He promised we would. And yet, is it possible that God knows that we have to first learn how to move the molehill? That we just hadn't got there yet? We want to wither fig trees. Remember the apostles? Jesus said, hey, this is no big deal. You're going to do this and more. But hey, how about first you learn to weed the garden? We want to walk on water. We want that Peter experience. And yet God's watching us and we're struggling just to crawl on land. So he says, not yet. I got big things planned for you, but just not yet. So he whispers in our ear, I need you to slow down. I need you to grow into your shoes. I need you to grow to where you're supposed to be right now, and then we'll take that next step. So, you know, maybe we've not been making the progress that we think we should be making. Maybe we're not running at breakneck speed towards the next goal like we want. But if we are making progress and we are letting God control the speed at which we make that progress, I can guarantee you we will get where God wants us to be when He wants us to be there. And when we do, we will be ready. I'm going to give you an example. And it was an eye-opener for me this week when I realized, believe it or not, the connection between the first part of the text and the last part of the text, which is one of those things that we shouldn't miss. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's just that I never really thought about it like this. 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7, is what? It's that passage about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And we know the part about the thorn in the flesh, the physical ailment he's going through. We know God's answer, but sometimes we forget to take verse 7 and connect it to verse 9. So let's read. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, we've had a because. Now then, he's going to repeat that idea. For this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this thorn in the flesh, this physical deal, this physical thing that he's dealing with, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Very similar and parallel to what takes place in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I wonder if that's why Paul quit with three, because Jesus quit with three. And Paul gets his answer. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, difficulties for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, let's make some connections. Number one, I want you to notice the reason. He said, I received a thorn in the flesh. I've had some type of physical ailment hit me because I was having tremendous revelations. Remember, Paul excels at everything he does. He excelled at being a Jew. He's excelled at being an apostle. He's writing book after book. And he says, what? I was having an ego issue. Because of the surpassing greatness of those revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, to keep me in my place, I got this thorn in the flesh. So the why was an ego issue. Number two, the what is the thorn in the flesh. Number three is the answer, no. I need you to learn to lean on me. The fourth was the connection between those two for me this week. If, and Paul says it was, so I trust that it was, if the thorn in the flesh by revelation, Paul tells me, was given to him specifically because he was having an ego issue with the amount of revelations and in a sense the size of them, the why is explained, the why God answers the way he does, by a combination of that reason and the answer. God tells Paul, you're not ready for me to remove it. You need to grow in your dependence. The power is going to be perfected in weakness. You still have some steps to take. The thorn in the flesh was for a purpose. I've got your attention now. Lean on me. God is saying, if I remove it now, your ego issue is going to resurface. You're not ready for that next step. So after I had that realization that those two verses are connected, it dawned on me, if Paul needed to grow into his shoes, who am I? Who are we to ever think that we're big enough that God should give us everything that we want when we want it? Who are we to think that God should even give us everything we need in one lump sum because we think we're big enough to handle it? Who am I to think that I know best and God does not? Who am I to tell God that He's not moving quickly enough? That I need answers today, that I need healing today, that I need this gift for so-and-so today. Who am I to tell God he doesn't know what he's doing? In essence, it boils down to who am I to judge God and his plans for me? When I look at God and say, God, you know, I'm not getting the answers fast enough. I'm pointing an accusing finger in the chest of God and I'm judging his plans. Now, that doesn't mean I don't keep asking, but we're talking about the attitude behind it. Talking about God saying, you know, I really need you to take another step. I need you to grow into your shoes just a little bit more. So let's take that now and let's add it to the original text. Psalm 37. Do not fret. What a fascinating phrase to appear in Scripture. Not, do not worry, do not fret because of evildoers. Don't be envious of them. They're going to fade, they're going to wilt, they're going to pass away. Trust in the Lord. Let's just break it down rather than read it. Verse 1. Do not worry about how life is going for those around you. There are going to be days that the worst people in the world get the biggest blessings. Don't worry about it. Don't let it tie you up in knots. Verse 3. Instead of getting tied up in knots, how about we trust Him and keep doing good? Take care of our own business. Leave the timing, leave the plans to Him. And David's dealing with the idea of the unrighteous getting their just due. We're actually talking about it relating to all of God's plans. Verses 4 and 5, take your pleasure from His presence. You know, be content right where you're at and being in the presence of God and let Him do what He said He would do when He thinks it's time. Thinking about the timing of God. God comes to Noah and says, you know, I need you to build a boat. God could have at that moment given Noah superhuman strength so that that boat's built in 3 days and God destroys the world. And yet Noah has to put up with his world for the next 120 years. Why? Because that was God's timing. That's when God wanted the flood to come about in the plan. Verse 7, David says, just rest. Wait, be patient. God's going to get you where He wants you to be, and He's going to get you exactly that point when He wants you to get there. So just be patient and do not get in a tizzy. Again, he says, don't fret. Verse 8, do not get angry with what you perceive as things not going like you want them to go. David's looking around and things aren't really going the way he wants them to do. The bad guys are getting good stuff and he's getting stuck with the leftovers. He says, you know what? I don't have any right to be angry about that. Just because it's not working out like I want it to. Then notice this. He says, getting worked up will lead to evil. That's when you get angry with God. That's when you go from praying repeatedly to accusing God, challenging God. Verse 9, he says, wait. Verse 11, he says, be humble. So here's the point tonight, and we're going to close. I've put if, but let's put it this way, when. When you find yourself waiting longer than you expected for the answer, for the end result. When you find yourself waiting longer than you want to wait, because a lot of us aren't good at it. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. God has big plans for us. God is going in your individual life, if you stick to the plan, God is, what do we look at, verse 28 of Romans 8? God is going to make it all make sense in the end. Philippians 2, God is going to continue to work through you. In Ephesians 3, He's going to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you can ask or imagine if we let Him. He's going to make it work. But we have to be patient because He may just be waiting for us to grow into the shoes that He's given us now. There may be gifts out there that I don't have yet that are going to come because I'm just not ready for them. There may be accomplishments to come for you that you're not getting to accomplish today because you're just not ready. That's what he's telling Paul in 2 Corinthians. You're just not ready. You think about telling the Apostle Paul, your ego is just not in a place that right now I can take this thorn away for you. Wow. So God says, you know, I've given you some shoes that are a little too big for you. But when you grow into them, we're going to do big things together. And so it may be, again, don't quote me. I'm not reasoning for God. There's a stink bug. I'm going to avoid stepping on him. I hit one the other day at the house, and it did not smell or taste good. It got in my mouth. It may just be that 2020 was a way for God to remind us. Even though He doesn't cause a lot of these things, He allows them to. God could be reminding us, you know, we're just not big enough for our shoes yet. But by the time we finish growing in 2020, 2021 can be magnificent. And we can do so much more than we've ever imagined because of the growth that we're experiencing now. So be patient. Grow into the shoes, and one day it'll all make sense. God will put it all together for good, and you'll do amazing things as we stand and sing.